Random House Audio presents Star Wars, The Clone Wars by Karen Travis. Read for you by Jeff Gerner. Jabba the Hutt's Palace, Tatooine. Humans made the rules in the galaxy, so Jabba the Hutt felt morally obliged to ignore them all. He would raise his son, Rata, to do the same.
I could tell you,
he said, taking in the glittering throne room with a short sweep of his arm,
that one day all this will be yours. No, I want you to have more, much more.
He picked up a priceless string of faceted emerald beads, alive with light, and a delicate tracery of internal veining, dangling them in front of his child's eyes. The assembled court, Jabba liked to admire his collection of talented, costly, and obedient beings, watched in silence while a solo musician plucked a soothing tune on Jellin's strings.
There. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that valuable?
Rata gurgled, foaming little bubbles of pearly drool, and grasped the necklace for close inspection, as if assessing the carat weight. Then his face split into a grin. He shook the emeralds enthusiastically, like a rattle.
The more you own, the stronger you are.
Jabba waited until Rata tired of his impromptu toy and let it go. The Nikto guard stepped in to take the jewels from Jabba's hand.
Our bodies are slow, Padunki, so our minds must be fast. You'll need to learn all these lessons before you inherit my empire.
Rata stared into his face, bemused. He didn't understand his legacy yet. It didn't matter. Jabba would repeat the lesson anyway, each day, until Rata was old enough to understand that the only way to hold your own in a galaxy dominated by those fast-moving, pushy, cocky bipeds was to use your brains, to play them at their own game, grab wealth before they did, before anyone did, and hire faster, deadlier beings to help you hang on to it. Huts weren't built for mobility. They were built for Varl, their long-abandoned homeworld, where their size and shape hadn't been a handicap until they began competing with humanoids.
But we learned to win. We filled a niche, as scientists say, the environment of crime. And now the bipeds come begging to us. What's a crime anyway? Who is the Republic to dare tell me what's right and wrong?
It's nearly time for Rata's daily excursion, Lord, said the Nikto. Shall I summon the sail barge?
Jabba blinked slowly and glanced at the antique Chamian ivory wall chrono he'd accepted to settle a gambling debt. Or had it come from that smuggler who couldn't deliver his contract on time and bought just a thorough beating instead of a blaster bolt to the head? It didn't matter. It was still time for Rata's walk, as his nurse called it, even though Hutts slithered. Jabba leaned over slowly and tickled Rata's chins before picking him up. The infant was already heavy, a sign of robust health.
I have business to attend to, Miki Lorda. Go with nurse and be good. I'll ride with you tomorrow.
Jabba often saw revulsion in humanoids' eyes. The skinny, untidy, short-lived things judged everything by their own narrow standards. They thought Hutts were repulsive. They said so. But Jabba cradled his son, his own flesh and blood, and only his, because Hutts needed no partner to produce a child, and was mesmerized by how perfect he was. This was the unbroken bloodline from his own father, Zorba, stretching back millennia across generations of Hutts. This was the heir to his carefully built empire. This was the Hutt who would eclipse all that Jabba had achieved. Nothing mattered more. The opinions of bipeds definitely didn't.